Guys, it is great to have you here. As Gertie said, my name is Devin. Can everybody say Devin? Pretty simple, right? And I am just so honored to be here. I came to this camp since I was about 9 years old. Where are my nine-year-olds? Okay, that's how old I was when I started coming to camp. And man, God touched my life so much. When I was 9 years old, I gave my life to Jesus. So just like Gertie asked last night, if anybody wants to give their life to Jesus, that's what I did when I was 9 years old. When I was 11 years old, where am I 11 years old? And this had nothing to do with age, but this is just my story. When I was 11 years old, back at the cabin one night after chapel, God touched and revealed himself to me in a way like never before, completely changed my life. And I'll tell you, there's something special about camp. Why? Because we get rid of all the distractions and all the worries and all the screens and all that other stuff, and we just get away for a little bit. And the whole goal is just to get our eyes on Jesus. That's what our goal is, to get our eyes on him, to help us to see him in a great way. Who wants to see Jesus in a greater way this week? Anybody want to see Jesus in a greater way this week? I know that I'm praying that God would show himself to you in a greater way. Guess what? After all these years of being a follower of Jesus, do you know I'm still praying the same thing? God, help me to see you in a greater way, because there's so much of him to see. You know, and you know what it's called when we take time to focus not our natural eyes but our heart? You know what it's called when we try to see God more? It's called beholding him. Beholding him. That we get our eyes and our hearts and our ears, and we just put him in the center of all that we do, and we behold him. Because let me just tell you, whatever you behold with your eyes and your ears, if you behold it enough, you're going to love it. And sometimes there's things in this world we behold too much, and we love those things too much, and we're called to behold God. So listen, how many of you guys wear glasses? Raise your hand. Listen, I wear glasses. I got contacts in right now, right? But listen, glasses, I just had an eye exam 2 weeks ago. Glasses help us to be able to focus on things when things are blurry or when we can't see certain things. That's what they do. They help us see. They help us to have vision. And my heart is that you can see God this week. And tonight, that's what I want to just talk about, that you can see God. See, sometimes our vision gets messed up. You know what messes up our vision? Sometimes we just, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, we just have too many problems sometimes. Anybody got some problems in their life? Is it just me? Okay, I thought I was the only one, right? How many times, you know, our vision gets off because we got too many friends that are drama. Anybody got friends who are drama out there? Probably nobody. Oh, really? You guys do too? Well, I didn't know that. How many know that sometimes we get out of focus because we're looking at things on TV a little too much? Anybody know what I'm talking about? No, none of you guys. Oh, yeah, okay. How many know sometimes our vision gets messed up because sometimes we have, like, even issues in our family, right? And it's hard and it's difficult and it's painful and we're worried and we're stressed. But let me just tell you a little bit about my story, because, you know, when I was thinking back when I was your age, you know, I went through some really hard times when I was your age. When I was about 8 or 9 years old, I forget exactly when, my dad actually left my family for a while, and he left her about almost a year, and it was a really hard time for my mom. And my mom was by herself, and it was just me and my sister, and I was really hurt, and I didn't understand why my dad did that, and it was a difficult time. When I was a fifth grader, do we have any fifth graders here? Going in fifth grade, sixth grader? Listen, when I went into fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, I was picked on. I wasn't accepted. There was times that I was even bullied by other kids, and it was very, very painful. I was a very fearful kid, very fearful. All I cared about was what everybody thought of me, because it seemed like nobody liked me in my school, and it was just so difficult, and I had a lot of anxieties. I had a lot of worries. I had a lot of just frustrations, and I even went through a time where I was even, like, depressed, and my parents didn't know what to do. It was a hard season. And, you know, in that season of my life, my eyes were on the problem. My eyes were on all the things that were going wrong with me. And you know what? I appreciated camp so much, because when I came to camp, it was a time that I could get my eyes off the problem and I could see God. Because when my eyes were on the problem, I thought my problems were bigger than God. Guess what? God was bigger than all my problems. Right? You know that? God was bigger than all my problems. Sometimes we don't think that. Let me do a magic trick for you today. Put that next slide up with the sun. This is a wonderful, beautiful picture of the sun that is 93 million miles away, right? Sun's pretty big. Do we know that, right? How many guys want to see a magic trick? All right. This is a tomato, right? Tomato, whatever you want to say, right? How many want to see me get this tomato bigger than that sun on that screen? Anybody want to see that? You want to see how this works? Jeremy, can you stand up? Can you help me out? Can you be my apprentice here today? All right, just take a step forward. Maybe stand a little sideways. Come over here, actually, a little bit. Okay, can you still see the sun? You sure? How many suns are there? There's just one, okay? Nothing else. Let me get this microphone out of the way so nothing obstructs this magic trick, okay? Here we go. This is what we're going to do. We're going to make this tomato bigger than that sun. Yeah, exactly. Can you just close one eye? Close one eye. What's your dominant eye? That's your dominant eye? Okay, give me your right hand. You're ruining my magic trick. Okay, don't step on that tomato. Here we go. Awesome. It is a real tomato. Okay, here we go. Can you hold it in your finger like this? Everybody watch. Here we go. What I want you to do is I want you to look at that sun. All right. Uh-oh. Okay, what's bigger now, the tomato or the sun? The tomato.
Yeah, the tomato's bigger.
Can you see the sun at all?
Not at all.
The tomato totally blocks your view.
Tomato eclipse.
Can everybody say that? Tomato eclipse. What happened? That tomato was so close to his eye that it was bigger than that sun on the screen. And we can do that same thing outside. What's my point? If you bring something close enough to your eye, it blocks everything else, and it becomes really, really big. And what we do in our lives is we got these big problems, and we got these big issues, and we got friends at school, and we got things we watch on TV, and we got our favorite sports athletes and our celebrities and this and that. And what happens? We take these little tiny things, hear me, kids, and we bring them really close to our eye. And then we go, where's God? I can't see him. It's because we're looking so close at these other little things that we miss God. And tonight, my desire is that we get these things out of the way so that we can see who God is. That's my desire, that we would truly behold him, not just tonight, but every single night. I pray tonight that you see God in such a huge way that you are changed forever. That's my desire. One of my favorite pastors, his name is John Piper from Minnesota, and he used the analogy of the difference between a microscope and a telescope. Can somebody raise their hand? One person, tell me what a microscope does. Right here, your hand was up. What does a microscope do?
A microscope helps you see, like, stuff that's really, really little that you can't see with the naked human eye.
Correct. If something that's really, really little that you can't see with the naked human eye. Okay, what does a telescope do? All right, your hand was up.
Go ahead. A telescope makes the eye, you can see farther out.
You can see. Exactly. You can see big, huge, giant things that are really, really farther away, right? And it helps you to see them closer, right? I mean, it's incredible that we can have a lens. Here we go. Should have maybe used a. Both things have lenses in them, but both things do something different. And guess what we're not going to do tonight? We are not going to worship God with a microscope or a magnifying glass, because you know what that's like? This is what we do when we worship God with a magnifying glass or a microscope. Oh, poor little God, help me to be able to see him in my life. I can't see God in my life because he's so little and tiny. No. God is awesome. God is huge. God is bigger than anything we can possibly imagine. And what we want to do is we want to see him like a telescope and say, God, you are so giant, and I just feel distant from you, and I just want to see you close to me. It's a change in perspective. I think sometimes we have such a tiny view of God, and I just want to read one psalm, and I'll refer to a couple of the passages. Maybe some of you read in your devotions today. If you got a Bible, who's got a Bible? Anybody got a Bible? All right, come on, get your Bibles out. You know, you brought them for a reason, right? Get your Bibles out. Counselors, help them. Turn to Psalms 46. Psalms 46. Psalms 46. Counselors, thanks so much for helping me. If you found it, say, got it. If you don't, say, hold on. All right, we got a lot of hold ons here. All right. Psalms 46. All right, here we go. Everybody who's got it, say, got it. Everybody say, who doesn't, say, hold on. Okay, there's just a couple more. Thank you. Let's be patient. Let's be patient. It's okay. It's okay. Guess what? I'm going to actually put it on the screen anyway, right? So all my counselors are like, so what's the point of reading in the Bible? Because it's great for kids to get out the Bible and see it in the Word of God. That's why. Okay, here we're doing. We're bringing it back. Everybody go, hush, hush. Listen, when we read the Bible, we want to read it with respect. We want to read it with reverence and with a quiet heart. All right? And so I'm going to read to you. If you don't have it, you can follow along on the screen. My words might be slightly different than yours, but you can read along. Psalms 46, we're going to read the whole entire chapter. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in her, in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Verse 6, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. For the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our fortress. Listen, I love this psalm, and we're going to just start right back in the beginning if you got your Bible, right? It says, God is a refuge and a strength, very present help in time of trouble. Now, let me just tell you, I do a lot of funerals, and sometimes I use that verse in a funeral. God is a present help in times of trouble. But you know, the sad thing is many people are like, oh, I don't care. You know why they don't care? Because they don't know who God is. That's why. Guess what? I got four kids, right? 17, 15, 13, and 12. My 12 and 13-year-old both probably don't weigh 100 pounds yet. So if you say, hey, Sammy and Hannah will protect you when some bad person comes into your house, I'm not going to feel much better. Do you know what I'm saying? Because you're not very big. But you know what? If somebody was coming to my house and two of my best friends, Barry and Chris, who both probably weigh over 240 pounds, I'd feel a lot better if they were at my house. You know what I'm saying? Right? Sometimes it doesn't matter that God is our help and our refuge and our strength if we don't know who God is, if we don't see how big he is, how awesome God really is. And that's what tonight I just want to just share a little bit, maybe just to open our eyes to see how awesome he is. Everybody say the word awesome. How many of you guys have used that word before? Okay. Put your hands down. How many times have you used that word for something else besides God? Raise your hand. Okay? Athlete, right? Something you bought, something you got for Christmas, right? Listen, I would encourage you, that word maybe should be said alone for God alone. Because the word awesome means we're filled with awe. And awe is this amazing reverence and respect. It even actually means not just respect, but dread and fear and wonder and majestic and power. It basically means when I'm filled with awe that I'm speechless, that I'm so overwhelmed that I can't say anything, like, oh my goodness. That's what this word awesome means. And God is awesome. Do you hear what that verse that it says? You know what? God is so great. I don't care. You know, I'm not going to be afraid if the earth gives away. Who cares what happens to the earth? I don't care if the mountains fall into the seas. I mean, just think about the Rocky Mountains. Think about the Himalayas. Think about Mount Everest. Can you imagine if they fell into the sea? Who cares? Because God is so much greater than that. That's awesomeness, right? And there is this fear that comes in our hearts when we understand how great and big God is. Listen, we should tremble when we come before God. We should tremble because He is so incredible. Listen, verse 6 gets me here. I just want to read verse 6 one more time. Maybe you can put it up on the screen. I think it's the next slide. Listen, verse 6 says this. It says, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter, or they shake. He, being God, utters His voice, and the earth melts. Think about that for a second. Wait. God just utters some sort of word, and everything that we know melts like that? Are you serious? See, sometimes we read the words in the Bible, we don't stop to think about what they're saying. Can God really do that? Can God really come to a place where if He wanted to, all He would have to do is just say a word and everything's gone, right? I mean, this is the power of God. And if you're like, oh no, you know, God can't really do that. No? Well, how do you think we all were created? God said one word or a couple words, let there be light, and light shot out of Him, His being at 186,000 miles an hour, whatever the speed of light is, 186 miles per second, actually, forgive me, right? I mean, it just shot out, right? God said, let there be an earth, and let there be a sun that comes up, right? And then, bam, we got this sun that's 93 million miles away, all because God uttered His voice. Do you guys know that the sun is equivalent to 100 billion tons of TNT going off every single second? I mean, it's incredible, right? God's creation, right? And sometimes we just need to stop back and see what God created and just be in awe. I mean, I'm in awe that He created every single one of you differently. He gave you all different fingerprints and all different hair on your head, and you all look different and smell different probably this week too, right? But it's God, He's the creator. And we just need to stop and just say, wow, maybe you're a little bigger than I realize. And maybe you'll just come a little closer to me this week so that I can see and I can know you. That's what I desire for all of you. You know, it says in Psalms 19:1, it says, the heavens declares the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. You know, tonight when you walk back to the cabin, you need to just be quiet and not talk to your friends for just this one trip back. And you need to look up the sky, and you need to see all those stars that are up there. And when we say, what are up there? Why do we have all those stars? Are there aliens on other planets? Are there life out there? Listen, I'll tell you why they're there. They're there to proclaim the glory of God. That's why they're there. And you know what? It doesn't matter what scientists you find. They have yet to come to the end of the universe. You know why? Because we will never get to the end of the power and the majesty and the glory of God. We'll never come to the end of it. Never. I mean, it's just incredible. Listen, in our universe, scientists estimate, because that's all they can do. They are estimating there's anywhere between 100 and 200 billion galaxies in our universe. Billion with a B. That's how many galaxies there are. We're in one galaxy. Anybody know what galaxy we live in? The Milky Way. That's exactly right. Put the picture up there. See this little spot? Bam, that's where our solar system is. Can't even see it, right? Let me ask you a question. How big is the Milky Way galaxy? how many of these yardsticks would we probably need to measure just one of the galaxies that, hold on, I'm not going to actually ask you that question because I'm going to tell you, I'm going to explain it because you guys wouldn't even be able to put a number on it, okay? I hate to say it, I don't want to set you up, okay? But listen just for a second. Shh. This is just one galaxy. God created 100 to 200 billion galaxies, right? How big is this one galaxy that helps us to understand the power of God? Okay, first of all, again, we have to understand, how do they measure it? Because do they measure galaxies with yardsticks? Heck no, they don't. They don't measure them with with yardsticks. You know what they use? They use like light seconds or light years, right? And so just to give us an idea. So I said light travels 182,000 miles every second. That is so far, light can go around our Earth 7.5 times in 1 second. Think about that. That's how fast light travels. It goes around our Earth 7.5 times in 1 second. It travels from the sun to the Earth somewhere around 8 minutes it takes. So that 93 million miles from the sun, it takes about 8 minutes. Put that solar system picture up, please. For light to travel from the sun to the end of our solar system, which is very, very long, to the end of our solar system, it takes about 19 hours. We're really getting long, right? That's how long it is to the end of our solar system. So let me just give you a clue. We're measuring how big our galaxy is. We're not going to talk about how many seconds or minutes or hours that light takes to travel. We're going to talk about how many years. Okay, because there's a number as far as how many years. Again, to the end of our, how many hours does it take to get to the end of our solar system? 19 hours. Okay, so think about hours, days, months, years. We're going to talk about how many light years does it take for light to travel across our galaxy. Now, again, for us to understand how big this number is, okay? Everybody grab your head real quick. Everybody grab your head. Okay, Lord, help us to understand this, okay? Help us to understand this. All right, put your hand off your head, okay? For us to understand this, let me just tell you, light travels. It takes, light can go 5.8 trillion miles in 1 year. So if light travels for a year, 5.8 trillion miles. Trillion miles in just one light year. That's a really big number for just 1 year, isn't it? Okay, you think this is big? Let me just tell you, is there a difference between million, billion, trillion? Isn't it all the same? There's a difference, isn't there? I wish it was the same. I wish our government wasn't in so many trillion dollars of debt. That's a different subject. Sorry. All right, listen. Just to help you understand million, billion, trillion, I just want to help you understand this for a second because we're talking about trillion, big number. A million seconds ago, right, was 12 days ago. Anybody know what you're doing on August 4th, two Thursdays ago? Some of you can probably remember what 12 days ago was, or August 5th, August 6th, right? That was a million seconds ago. So if a million seconds ago was 12 days ago, anybody want to guess how many how much time was a billion seconds ago? Anybody want to guess? Go ahead. Throw up a number in the back. How far away was a billion seconds ago? Quickly. Pick a number. How many years? I gave you a hint. It's a year. What? 12? No, you know what? 31 years ago. 1991 is a billion seconds ago. So a million seconds ago is last two Thursdays ago. A billion seconds ago is 1991. Most of you weren't even born. Half these counselors weren't even born, Gertie, right? I mean, that's how long ago a billion seconds were. There you go, right? Okay, that was a billion seconds ago. So how many is a trillion seconds ago? Here we got to know. Okay, somebody throw out a number. How many is a trillion seconds ago? A million years. Listen, I'll help you out. I'll help you out here. Listen. A trillion seconds ago was 29,667 BC. BC. That's 31,000 years ago. So we went from 1991, which was a billion seconds, to 31,000 years in the past. I mean, man, the Back to the Future time machine couldn't even do that. Right? I mean, this is the difference. Kids, shh. This is the difference between million, billion, and trillion. And when I say that light travels at 5.8 trillion miles in one light year, that's a long way. Can we all say amen to that? Okay, so how many, go put that next slide up of the universe. I mean, of the, listen, here we go, our galaxy. 1.9 million light years is the width of our galaxy. They used to think it was like 200 million light years, 300 million light years. There's a new study that came out in 2020. They're like, no, we were completely wrong on this. Our galaxy is about 1.9 million light years, and every light year is 5.8 trillion miles. Now, Devin, why do you go and say all this stuff? What is this, science class? I'll tell you why I say all this stuff. Because if God created that, which is just one galaxy out of 100 or 200 billion other galaxies, God utters his voice, the earth melts away. God says one thing, it's over here. That is the God that we serve. And when it says Psalms 46, it says, the nations seem to rage. They seem like they're prospering. No. The Lord opens up his mouth and the whole earth is going to pass away. Do you see how crazy it is, kids, when we take different things that are happening in our world or even like, oh, I own this. This is in my bedroom. It means so much to me. Listen, we start to treasure these things in a way that's greater than God. We get off a little bit. It doesn't matter what anyone here owns on this earth. It is nothing compared to God. Nothing. Listen, we get this idea that, this athlete, oh my goodness, they're the greatest basketball player. Oh, they're the greatest football player. Or that celebrity. Oh, he's so cute. He's the cutest guy in the band. Oh, I love him so much. Compared to God? Nothing. Do you know what it says here in Isaiah 40? Let me just switch over to Isaiah 40. God gave a word to Isaiah. It says, shout this to people. He says, I want them to know that people on the earth, here we go, look up here. They're like grass. Their beauty fades so quickly, just like the flowers in the field. The grass is just like this. It's going to wither, and it's going to die, and it's going to be no more. But eventually it says, but the word of our God stands forever. You know, sometimes we hear in the news, like, this country's doing that, or this country's doing that, or this country's doing that. You know what it says about countries? Is there anything in this bucket? Is this bucket full of anything, kids? It says the nations are like a drop in the bucket. There's nothing hardly in there. Guess what? It's insignificant. It's worthless. It's empty. And we care so much about what's going on in the world and what's going on with my friends. And my friend said this about me. And we don't even stop to think about what God is saying about us. Because he is the one that's so great. And we should come to God and we should just behold him. When we read Psalms 19 that says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Kids, I just hope tonight that some of you guys, when you leave here tonight, that you'll just think about how great God is, that you'll look up to the sky, that some of you tonight, when you lay your head on the pillow, that instead of just fooling around, you'll just lay back and just say, God, you created me, and you're so amazing, and you're so much bigger than I could possibly imagine. You know what that's called? It's called beholding God. And so Psalms 46, it says, come, let us behold the works. Come, let us behold him. You know, today, this morning, I was reading this passage, and when I read that in verse 8, it says, come behold the Lord. And so this morning, I'm sitting at this park. It's called Rustic Park. It's out in Birdsboro. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just sitting by this stream, and I'm praying, and it's just this beautiful day, perfect weather, and green grass and trees and light coming down. And I'm just like, God, I want to behold you. I just want to see. Look at all this beautiful nature around me. And then I read the next verse, because the next verse says, come, let us behold the Lord. And then it says, and come behold how he has brought destruction upon the world. That it is healthy, kids, as hard as this is to understand, it is healthy to understand the wrath of God and the power of God. You know, we all love the wonderful, cute little story of, oh, Noah, who got those two-by-two animals, right? Oh, he got the two zebras, and he got the two bears, and he got the two lions, right? And it was so cute, and he had a nice little ark. No. That story is about God bringing wrath to the earth and wiping out the face of the earth. Why? Because it says the world and everybody in it was so utterly corrupt, and they were corrupt in everything they did except for Noah and his family. And it's healthy to sometimes stop kids and come and behold not just his greatness, but his wrath and his anger towards those who hate him. Listen, he brings down nation upon nation upon nation. There was, you know, the Pharaoh's like, oh, I'm not going to let God's people go, right? And Moses comes in. God said, let the people go. I'm not going to do that. Are you kidding me? God just brings Egypt down like it's nothing. He's just playing games with the Pharaoh, right? Oh, just let him. Moses is like, what are you doing, God? Don't worry. I got it. I'm just messing around with him. He's coming down, right? I mean, just think about it. It's like Goliath, the greatest warrior there is, and he's mocking the Israelites and the people. And David comes up and is like, why are you letting this guy mock us? Don't you know how great God is? Oh, we're all scared to go fight Goliath. I'll go fight him because it's not my name. It's God's name, and it's his wrath, and it's his power. And he says, Goliath, you know, today's the day I'm going to take the sword and cut your head off because it's God working through me. Who says we should come and we should behold the destruction of those who hate God so that we might learn to fear God and know him. I mean, how utterly prideful is it of men and women when we think we know more than God? When we think we're better than him. And the scary part is God lets us do our thing thinking we're all that until he will finally bring us down. You know, I am so thankful for everything Gertie preached last night. I am so thankful for the cross of Christ. I am so thankful that God so loved the world that he sent his son not to condemn the world or to judge the world, but he sent his son to save the world. I am so thankful for that. Anybody thankful that Jesus came to save the world? Amen, right? Aren't you thankful for his grace and his mercy? Aren't you thankful that though we messed up and we made mistakes, that Jesus took the punishment that we deserved on the cross, right? Guess what? Next time Jesus comes back, he's not coming back in grace. He's coming back in wrath. He's coming back with his army, his heavenly host armies. It says in Revelation 19 that he's coming back. He's going to be wearing a robe dripped in blood, and he's coming back with his army. And it says out of his mouth is going to come a sword, a sharp sword, and he's going to strike down the nations. And it says he's going to release fierce wrath of God on all the nations, and it's going to be like a juice flowing from a wine press. And everyone will know that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if any of you say, oh, that's a little scary, Devin, Gertie, who's this guy you brought in? It is scary. And we should tremble at God. We should tremble at him. We don't realize how incredibly powerful God is. But guess what? I'm so thankful that you don't have to be scared tonight. None of you have to grab your teddy bear a little tighter tonight, or no one has to say, oh, please tell me a good story because Devin kind of scared me that God is so wrathful and mean. No, you don't have to do that. You know why? Because when Jesus came, you know what he did? He gave every single person an invitation to be a part of his team and to be on his side. And that invitation was written in his blood. And his invitation is personally written to every single one of you if you choose to accept. And when you accept and when you humble yourself, like Gertie said in the beginning, and you receive Jesus, you become one of his. You become a child of God. You become a son of God. You become a daughter of God. You become identified by him. Listen, in the same way that God promised that he was going to send wrath, you know, on Noah's time and wiped out the earth, God promised Noah. He said, Noah, I'm never going to flood the earth again. That promise is held true over the last 6,000 years, roughly. Let me just tell you another promise God gave to us. Next slide. Here's a promise. To all who believe in him, who've accepted him, it says he's given them the right to become a children of God. They're reborn, not from physical birth resulting from human passion or a plan, but birth that comes from God. That whenever we accept him, when we believe in his name, there is a promise that in that moment we are reborn. Something inside of us comes to life. Some of you have experienced that. Some of you have experienced, I'm not just going to camp because my mom and dad told me to go to camp. There's something here, I want to be there. There's something inside of me, I love God. It doesn't really matter whether my mom and dad believe or not, I believe in him. and there's something inside of you that has come to life. I pray that that's happened last night in some of you. I pray and I tell you, tonight can be the night that you can say, I am going to believe in Jesus. I'm going to accept him. And as I accept him, there's a promise that we get reborn from the inside out. And we're his. And we don't have to be afraid of his wrath anymore. Right? It's incredible. Like, I'm so thankful. It says the nations rage, the kingdom totters. He utters his voice and the earth melts. But it says this, but the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I'm on his side. I'm in the fortress, baby. Listen, I know I'm 45. I'm sorry to say that. I'm 45 years old now. I'm 45 years old now. Every now and then there can be a good thunderstorm and I still get a little scared. I'm going to admit to you kids, okay? But you know what? When I'm in my house and that storm is raging and it's blowing against my house, I say, thank you, Lord, that I have a house. And thank you, Lord, that I'm safe. And guess what? No matter what you kids ever go through, let me just tell you, there is a fortress that is greater than any problem you ever face. And that fortress is the Almighty God. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Psalms 18:10. And we can know that fortress. And listen, I just hope and pray that today that you guys would just know. Right, eyes up here. Come on, don't worry about that. Eyes up here. Listen, today that you guys would know just the power of God. I think this is what it means, Gertie, when it says that in Psalms 34 that we should teach young people to fear the Lord. That we should teach them how reverent and how amazing is God really. That we would learn to understand that and comprehend that even at a young age like you guys are at. So here's how we're going to end tonight, okay? I'm bringing it to a close, okay? Here's how we're going to end. I just want to read the last two verses of this passage one more time. Psalms 46, verses 10 and 11. Here we go. How about you guys read it with me out loud? Ready? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. Listen, here's my three things that I want to end with tonight. I want to encourage you to do. Be still. Be still. Not just this moment, but that you would know that there are times that we need to just be still. I know that our mind's constantly spinning. I know that there's so many things to do. I know there's going to be so many fun things to do tomorrow. But there are moments where we just need to stop. And we just need to be still. Just like when we were singing that worship song towards the end in all worship, we're just still before God. We're getting our heart and our mind on him, and we're not doing anything else except for being still and thinking about him and beholding him. The word of God says that we are to be still. Listen, let me encourage you. When you're still, stop focusing on yourself and focus on God. Stop focusing on your problem. Stop bringing that tomato so close to your eye. Focus on God. Stop worrying about what you're going to do next. Stop worrying about that you're going to fix the problem. No, just be still. I am trying to learn that God just wants me to be. That I need to just sometimes stop thinking that I can do it all. And I'm just going to stop. I'm going to just quiet my heart. I'm going to say I'm not in control of this situation that's overwhelming me. And I'm just going to be still. I'm going to take a deep breath. I'm going to think about him. Can we do that just right now in this moment? Can you just close your eyes just one more time? And can I just encourage you just right now in this moment? Can you just take a moment to just focus on him? Just to think about how great this God is, who created the whole entire universe, who knows you and loves you, who's given you this opportunity to hear the word of God. Just take a deep breath. And just recognize that he is God. It's called trust and faith. We put our faith in him. We trust and we believe. Okay, open your eyes up again, okay? Listen, we're to be still. Second thing it says that we should do, we should know God. We should know God. What does it mean to know God? Listen, to know him, like I said, it's taking time to learn. It's taking time to see him. It's taking time that when we pray, we say, God, would you just show me more of who you are? Would you, again, help me get my eyes off of everything else because I want to know you. So many times we're like, does God even know me? We are so self-centered. How about we say, God, I want to know you. Okay? I don't care about me in this moment. I just want to know who you are. It says that we should be still and know that he is God. This is the focus. This is us getting our eyes, right? Getting focused. I want to know God. I want to see him. I want that to be my focus in all that I do. Here's how this helps. Listen, when I am afraid, right? When I'm afraid, I need to know God. Because when I know God, I am no longer afraid. Listen, I remember being your age, and I remember being scared of walking in the dark out in the farm that I was in. And when I would just, even at your age, I would start singing a worship song and thinking about God, I would say, wait, I know who God is. I do not have to be afraid. Listen, when we're tempted to sin and do something we know we shouldn't do, you know what? I just need to know God. Because when I know him and I see how good he is, I don't want to do that anymore. It's not a mom or dad telling me. I know what's right. I don't want to do it anymore, right? Listen, when I start like idolizing people or putting my heart into sports athletes or other things or items that I have or things on TV, I just need to step back and I need to know him. Because all these things, just like it's on the floor, I'm going to have to sweep up. It's just all grass. It's all fading away one day. I need to calm myself down and not make a big deal about it. Listen, when I feel guilty and I feel like I'm not good enough and God, you can't love me, no, I got to stop and I got to know God. Hallelujah. And I got to know his grace, and I got to know his mercy, and I need to know his love is new every single morning for me, and nothing can change what he's done on the cross, that he's already demonstrated his love for me. Hallelujah, right? Listen, when I need direction for my life and I don't know what to do, I need to know him. Because when I know him, I know his purpose for my life. And listen, maybe this is the biggest one. When I'm feeling hopeless and I think there's no way this will ever change in my life, and I've been there many times. Kids, I got to confess, I've been there the last couple weeks. I've had moments where I'm just like, oh, this is never going to change. You know what I need to do? I need to know him. Because when I know him, I know his resurrection and I know his redemption, and I know that God can resurrect any situation. God says, with me, all things are possible. And you know what? When I don't know who I am and when I'm looking for acceptance, like at that time when I was your age and I felt like nobody loved me and nobody accepted me and I was never good enough, when you're in that moment, you know what you need to do? Not find just new friends or put a new outfit on or do something that everybody will like you now. No, you need to know God. Because when you know God, that's your identity. There's always going to be times, kids, that some kids will not like you. There's always going to be a time that some people will not accept you. Somebody was just blasting me on Facebook last week, publicly. Guess what? I don't care, because I know God. And I know I'm just trying to be faithful before him, and I'm covered in his grace. I'm not perfect, but I know him. And that's all that matters. There's so many kids your age that just care about what their friends think, or they're so worried about their family situation, or what do I look like? Am I cute enough? Am I pretty enough? All this stuff. What's my identity? Know God, and you will know your identity, because you belong to him. Listen, when I told you what happened when I was 9 years old and I accepted Jesus. I told you when I was 11 years old and Jesus met me powerfully. I didn't tell you what happened when I was 18, because I was a counselor here at camp. And listen, growing up, I love my mom and dad. My dad ended up coming back to my mom, praise God. December, we celebrated 50 years anniversary. God completely reconciled the relationship to the glory of God. God is good. But you know what? My dad was kind of one of those kind of like hard, tough guys growing up. He didn't believe in God. He was a hard worker. And when I was growing up, I don't ever remember my dad saying he loved me. I don't ever remember my dad giving me a hug. Sorry, I'm not trying to get emotional for drama. Sorry. Don't ever remember my dad even just coming up and saying, son, I'm just really, really proud of you. And that just left a little bit of a hole in my heart. And sometimes those kind of things, they can wreck people for the rest of their life. But when I was 18 years old and I was sitting right back there, right under where it says, "Sir, would you see Jesus?" I was sitting right there, and it was a testimony Friday morning when kids are sharing their testimonies, and something happened to me. I experienced the love of God the Father, and I knew without a shadow of a doubt it didn't matter what my dad ever said to me or did to me or believed in me. I had a Father in heaven, and that's the only thing that mattered. It's all that mattered. And I just remember weeping back there because I was just experiencing the love of God the Father like never before. Because when we need anything in our lives, we need to know Him. And I'm just so thankful just to tell you, you know, after 30 years of praying for my dad came to know Jesus about 3 years ago. Praise the Lord. My dad's a different person. Praise the Lord. I got to baptize him back in 2019. God is good. But, you know, the depths in our heart, we want everybody else to fix it. We need to come and know God. It says, "Be still and know that I am the Lord." And then it says, "And I will be exalted." Because when you are still and when you know the Lord, guess what automatically happens? We worship Him. We worship Him. We see how amazing He is. And let me just tell you, worship is not just singing a song in a group of people. Worship is that we literally say, "God, I surrender my complete life to You." This is true and spiritual worship, that we would offer our bodies as whatever, God, You want for my life. Here's my life. You have it. It's not just because my mom or dad brings me to camp or brings me to church, but no, I am making my own decision to say, "God, if You are that great, if You are that holy, if You are that glorious, then why don't You deserve everything that I have? I mean, if You can just utter one word and everything that matters to me is gone, how about I just surrender my life completely to You?" That's worship. And that was a hard decision one day when I made that. But you know what? It was the best decision that I ever made. I just said, "God, here You go. You can have my life. You can have it all." And you know what? That's what I believe that God wants to do in some of your lives today. Listen, there's some of you today that you've been holding back. You've been kind of like, "Oh, you know, I know God's out there, but, you know, I'm just going to kind of go through the motion." No, tonight's a night for some of you to completely say, "I'm surrendering my life to Him." I believe tonight that more than you realize, tonight God is doing this again. He's giving you an invitation. And He's saying, "Will you trust in Me?" God is saying, "Am I worthy enough? Am I good enough for you to trust in Me? Will you accept the invitation?" Can we bow our heads today right now? Can we just bow our heads and can we just have this moment where we're just still before the Lord? Hallelujah. God, I believe You're in this place. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence that's here. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence that's here. Thank You. Come on, this is just a time. Don't worry about your friends to the left or to your right. There's only one person that you need to worry about right now, and that's God. Because I believe with all my heart that He's speaking to every heart today. And God is asking, "Is there anybody here that would accept my invitation?" And I just would encourage you just in this moment, if that's you, maybe you want to just slip up a hand right now and say, "That's me, Devin." Is there anybody here? Don't worry about the person left or right. Just worry about you right now. Just worry about you right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, put your hands down in your head. Bow your heads. I got another question for you guys. There's some of you in here today that you're wrestling because you don't think you're good enough. You're wrestling because you compare yourself to other kids, other girls, other boys. And there's some of you kids that you don't feel like you measure up good enough. That you feel like there's something wrong with you. And I'm here to tell you, God created you. And when He created you perfectly. And tonight's a night that I want to encourage you to get your eyes off of yourself and put them on Him. And maybe there's somebody here today that would say, "Pastor Devin, would you just pray for me because I'm just struggling to believe that I'm good enough?" Would you just raise your hand and say, "Would you just pray for me?" Is there anybody here? Don't worry about anybody else. Is there anybody here that's saying, "Devin, I just feel like God's talking to me"? That's right. Just be bold. That's right. That's right. That's right. Listen, that's me when I was your age. That's me all day long. All right, bow your heads one more time. I just want to ask. Some of you can relate when I shared a hard story tonight. Life has been hard. You're here at camp. You're having a lot of fun. You're smiling, but in the inside, there's some really heavy stuff in your life. It's not everybody, but there's a couple of you guys that you're really broken inside. And I want you to know right now that my heart grieves for you. But I want you to know right now, more than that, God's heart grieves for you, and he loves you very much. And he wants to tell you that you're not alone. And he is a fortress. He's a strong tower that you can run to. You don't walk to, you run to it. And you can hide in him. Is there anybody's heart who would say, that's just me, Devin? I'm just going through some hard times. Don't look up. Just raise a hand. Thank you. Thank you. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to encourage you not to run, but some of you who raised a hand for one of those three ways, I want to encourage you to just come and kneel at this altar right now. Just come up. If you raised a hand, why don't you just come up and kneel at this altar right now? And this is what we're going to do. We're going to be still. That's right. Just come on up. Boys on this side, girls on this side. And I just encourage you to kneel or lie down. We're just going to seek the Lord tonight. Listen, it says, be still and know that I am God. Wherever you're at, however you want to face, just don't worry about anybody else. Just bow your heads down to the Lord tonight. Bow your heads down. Find some space for those. Listen, we're not forcing you to do this. You're just doing this because you want to respond to the word of God. Listen, as we bow down, what happens when we bow down? We're basically saying, God, I recognize that I am small, and God, you are great. I am little, and you are mighty. I am nothing, and you are holy. And we humble ourselves before God when we bow before him. Our bodies reflect our hearts. But let me tell you, the hope, as Gertie said earlier, says God gives grace to the humble. He's near to the brokenhearted. And some of you guys who are broken in your hearts and you're hurting, or you feel like you don't measure up, God says he's near to you. Counselors, maybe there's some of you that want to just start laying hands on some of these kids up here if they belong to your flock. As the Lord leads, of course, don't feel like you have to rush, but maybe as the Lord leads. Listen, for some of you, maybe it's just that tonight's the night that you're accepting the invitation, Lord. And right now, don't worry about anybody else. Right now, you're just saying, God, I believe in you. I put my trust in you. I believe in your son. Your word says that whoever believes and whoever accepts, you bring in to be sons and daughters. And I want to be accepted tonight. I want to know you, God, tonight. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, God, for who you are. I thank you for your incredible word. I thank you for your incredible mercy, God. There's so many times that we take you for granted, but not tonight, God, not tonight. May tonight be a night that we reverence your name. May tonight be a night that we recognize we don't have to fear anything else in this world because we fear the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, be here. Work in people's hearts. Work in these kids' hearts tonight. God, I pray for those who are wrestling with their identity. I pray for those who just feel like they're not good enough. Lord, would you minister to them, and would you show them and speak to them and let them know that they belong to you. God, I thank you so much for some of the testimonies that I shared tonight. But Lord, I just believe that some of these kids who are so broken and so hurting over different things that are happening in their life, things that are out of their control, some things that they don't deserve to be going through, Lord, would you just be near to them right now? Kids, you can call on God. You can just talk to him right where you're at. You can talk to him quietly. You can talk to him even out loud. Don't worry about anybody else. He's here tonight. If that helps you to focus more, just talk to him out loud. Thank you, Lord. You're near to all these kids who are brokenhearted. And Lord, I thank you that in the same way that you brought such redemption in my life and you had a plan for my life, I thank you, God, that you have such a great plan for some of these kids. I thank you, God, that they don't have to be worried about what's going on in the world and what all their friends think of them, God. I thank you that you're a rock in their life and you're a fortress in their life, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We surrender to you. We humble ourselves before you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.